KX 93.5, good morning. I'm Jason. It's your Daily Scramble live. And a couple of lovely things I like to do. I like to talk to musicians, I like to talk to comedians. And we've got a guy on the phone right now. Bert Kreischer is The Machine. And he's performing at the Irvine Improv coming up. I believe it's tomorrow night. And with any luck, Bert's on the phone with me right now. You there, mate?
You there?
Hello, yeah, aha. Can you hear me now?
How are you doing?
Yes, I'm good, sorry. I'm here on my own today, so there's nobody to press the buttons correctly.
Oh, perfect.
So it's just you and me and all these knobs and switches, lights flashing everywhere. It's like being in we're like the sort of dodgy, drunk crew of the Starship Enterprise.
That's how I'd fly it. Who's going through space sober? You know they've got to give them some sort of nerve pill before they take off. There's no way they're like, yeah, you guys are going to space sober. Come on.
Right, no, absolutely. Although, I tell you what, that whole thing of being like the anti-no-gravity drunk would be very fun.
Oh, man, that would be phenomenal. Yeah. Do you know how much fun it would be to be high and try to eat Tang in space,
right.
Just bubbles of Tang coming out your mouth. You're like, I think I got this one.
See, you went there. I was thinking of my own vomit floating by just nicely there. Just be careful. Up, get out of the way of that horrible thing.
Oh, just real quick, throw up and then look at the other guy. Who did that? That's not me. It's not in front of me. It's just floating around.
Yep. So, Bert, you're famous for being a party animal. If people don't know who you are, you're the guy without the shirt on, which, by the way, very smart move. No, never need to have any clean clothes to wear. For work.
I literally started doing it because I would have anxiety about what shirt to wear on stage. Like, I'd go up and go be like, oh, do I wear a collared shirt? Because everyone was wearing collared shirts in the early 2000s. And then I was like, and then Louis went up and did a special with a sweatshirt with a stain on it. And I was like, yeah, that's what I'd wear. I just wear something comfortable. And so literally, I just decided to, I was like, I'm just going to take my shirt off. I did it in Columbus one night, and the place went nuts. I killed a beer, and I was like, I'm keeping it off.
It's very, actually, quite ballsy in a way, because, I mean, you and I have the same physique. I'm sure it's quite a common physique among men of a certain age. And I'd be nervous to go on stage without a shirt, with showing my belly like that. You ever get nervous about it, or are you mostly drunk?
No, I don't really care. I'm not. By the way, I'm very. I never go on stage drunk. I might get drunk on stage, but I've always been like. I think I grew up in Florida, so I'm like. Yeah. I have an inebriation running through my body for the rest of my life, no matter what I do. But I just. I don't really care. I find myself walking around the house with my shirt off nonstop. I'm shirtless 90% of the day, I would say.
Yeah, you can get away with that in Florida. If you'd grown up in East Lansing, that'd probably be, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'd be the toboggan comic. Like, oh, he goes up with a hoodie on. He's freezing nonstop. Yeah, Florida, man, I just watched a documentary on Ric Flair, and I was like, yeah, that defines Florida for me. Just pro wrestlers, shirts off, loud behavior.
Yeah, it's like a crappy California, I always think, really.
Oh, By the way, I grew up thinking that. When I first came out to L.A., I was in Century City, where they shot Die Hard. It's literally only place in L.A. and other than downtown that you can find stupid high-rises, and there are hotels and a mall. That's it. And maybe a cemetery. And I literally called my dad. I was like, this is the most beautiful city I've ever been to in my entire life. I'm living here for the rest of my life.
When did you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. in 99 was the first time I came out here, and I did the bicoastal thing for like 4 years, and I've been here since 99 technically.
Right. Now, and I've been watching videos of you, obviously, to do all the enormous amount of prep I do for this show.
Yeah.
But I've been watching videos last night and this morning, and you're a consummate storyteller, buddy. You're one of those guys that's just, you've got a knack for it. Have you always been that way? Have you always been, were you the class clown at school?
No, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school, so, like, we didn't technically have class clowns because you weren't trying to impress anybody.
Right.
The thing that really would get you recognized at our school is if you could sit down at the lunch table in front of, like, 12 other guys and tell the story of what happened that weekend. And I remember going in freshman year and watching sophomores just come in, and they'd be like, oh, Kurt, what happened? And I think that's where I kind of learned how to tell stories is I'd sit down with a bunch of guys and they'd be like, Bert, you talk about the beer run. And I go, whoa, it starts with a dog. And everyone lose their mind. And you're like, what? I think, you know, and the key to selling a good story at Jesuit High School in Tampa was you had to have a good intro. You had to have a good opening line. Like, Ty didn't tell you about the hooker with the gun, and everyone would go nuts, you know? Or, like, when I did tell the machine story, when I was 22, I got involved with the Russian mafia.
Yeah.
Here's how it happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I think once you can drag them in, I jumped out of a plane with Rachel Ray. I fought a bear one time. Like, once you find that intro in, and the last thing about a good story is you got to let them know it's over. You got to have da-da-da-dun, you know? And those are all things I learned in high school, just telling stories to my friends.
Stories, yeah. But you are the consummate guy. You're that guy that everybody misses. I miss my buddy from high school who's now a marketing director at a really boring publishing company and has got four kids and is not funny anymore. I miss that guy. I miss the guy with the shirt off who was a nice guy and had a kind look in his face and told brilliant stories. I think that people are going to really love this show. When's the show? Tomorrow?
Tonight, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night.
Wow, three nights at the Improv.
Yeah, three nights, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And I think you just nailed it. I think everyone always tries to figure out in this business what their brand is. I think maybe I stopped growing up at a certain age, and if there's any fantasy fulfillment to have, it's like, oh, I'm back by the lake with my buddies. Oh, someone just broke out a joint at a campfire. Oh, we get to do this for the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, man, and it works really well. And but it doesn't feel nostalgic to the audience. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like that, and it's not. I miss my 12th grade girlfriend as well, but I don't really want her back.
Yeah, exactly. Look, tonight's the night. If you want to go out, that no chick you bring with you is going to be like, hang on, we're not doing shots. It's the night where everyone goes to the show and they're like, all right, we'll do body shots, but never again.
Right. It's going to be a brilliant show, man. Three nights at the Improv. You played there before?
Yeah, I go there every year. I started stand-up in New York, but I've been doing these clubs for probably 13 years. They're like kind of home to me.
Right.
And they've gotten so big, there's no reason to jump to a theater because you'd much rather do five shows and work on one story and really dial it in then just do one theater show and be done for the weekend and get the money, you know?
That's right. But you know what? A lot of comedians, they have to keep renewing their material, and everybody wants new jokes, and they're disappointed if they hear the old jokes. But not with you, mate. You've got some clown. You've got song. You've got the story about the mafia and the Rachel Ray story. These are your stairway to heavens. Everybody wants them.
Yeah, it really is bizarre with stories because people are like, I mean, I can't get away from a show without telling the machine. And now there's this show about me being a part of, a story about me being a part of a live sex show in Amsterdam when I was a kid that everyone's shouting out. And so you got to work on the new stuff. So what I do is I do 45 to like an hour of new stuff, and then I'll do 20 minutes of the hits of what people want to hear.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right, well, the show's tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night at the Irvine Improv. It's Bert Kreischer. Thanks for talking to me, mate. I could talk to you all day, and I'm going to really try and get to that show tonight.
Please do. I really appreciate this. Phone interviews are so difficult sometimes, and this has been nothing but a joy. So thank you so much.
Oh, you see, you're such a lovely man. All right, this is going to be a great show, really. If you like storytelling, if you miss your old, chubby buddy from college, he's coming back tonight. All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
See ya.